two Bible readings that we had. The one from Isaiah, I want to make a comment about that, and then I want to say a wee bit about the gospel readings. You probably picked up what Rodney was reading wasn't just from one passage of Scripture, but was little snippets out of a number of bits of the Gospels. So the one that Morgan read to us from Isaiah spoke about this wee moment in the life of Israel where God was really calling them into some new things as a nation. And he was reassuring them that the words he used are that if you step to the right or to the left of the path, you will hear a voice saying, no, this is the way. Walk in it, right? And there's a reassurance in that, that if you're trying to walk in the path of God, whether as individuals or as a crowd, that if you slip to the right or to the left, God's promise is to speak a word of correction and veer us back onto it. But one of the important... Oh, I was just saying I have never heard Annie before. Now we're hearing her. That's okay. But The important thing is that it requires movement to hear the voice. I don't know if you're aware of this, but that if you're sitting in a river in a boat with an engine on the back, but the engine isn't turned on, you can do anything you want with the tiller to try and steer the boat. You can't steer the boat if it's just in the current. Nothing happens. The boat can go in circles or any way the current takes it. And no matter what you do with the tiller, it won't make any difference. The only way you can steer a boat is if you turn on the engine and go faster than the current. Right? You just have to be doing that. And then, because you've got a bit of your own speed, you can then start to steer. And I think that's what we're picking up in Isaiah. That when God's people get on the move, then God can steer. But he can't steer a person or a group of people sitting still, right? There's nothing to steer. So it's when you veer to the right or the left of the path, you will hear the voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, jumping to the New Testament, to those other little bits and pieces that Rodney read to us, I wanted to lift those out because they were meant to be a selection of genders and ages and contexts and situations, that sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking that God only leads other churches, or God only leads other people, or God only does things in other people's lives, but not in me. I'm too short, or I'm too old, or I'm too male, or I'm too female, or I'm not spiritual enough, or whatever the excuses are. We come up with all sorts of reasons why it may not be me, or why it may not be us. And I think our Bible stories of the life of Jesus and of the New Testament church deliberately pick up for us that it's all ages, all sorts of people, all sorts of backgrounds. God's heart and desire is for all, not just for certain parts of it. So let me go down here to this piece of paper. Years and years ago, when I was a much younger clergy person, I remember going to one of those conferences they organized for people like me about how to lead churches. And one of them said that one of the people who was speaking, who in terms of starting new churches and all, was incredibly successful, if that's the right word, for doing that sort of thing. And he said the secret was this. He said the secret was to take a long bath with a pen and an old envelope and draw a picture on the back of it of what you thought you would like your church to look like. And I don't mean the shape of the spire and the grounds, but can you draw a diagram of what you think the life of the church should look like? And then don't do anything else with it. But he said, but maybe a few months later, take another long bath and turn the envelope over and try to make a list of the steps you need to take to get the other side of the envelope to happen. So does that make reasonable sense? So what I'm going to draw for you is the envelope from the bath round about July, round about mid-July, when I wasn't in the bath actually, so don't linger on that. You don't need it. Yeah, let's just go to sitting in the garden after a long time of prayer, right? And scribbling and thinking, is this what? Shift that a wee bit, move this a wee bit. What would it look like this? So it would be okay if I drew you that picture off the back of the envelope and see what you make of it. And then in the near future, we'll turn it over and see what we need to do to make some of that begin to look like that. So let me pick a nice color here. Okay. When I look at the our kind of life as a congregation, let me draw Beaver Parish congregation like a big circle. Would that be okay? And there's a reason for doing it with dotted lines. Is that coming up on the screen? Is that okay? Oh, very good. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow. Okay. Excellent, David. Okay. So that's us, all inside a big circle. And the reason it's dotted rather than closed, yeah, is because the edges of every congregation of God's people ought to have plenty of space for people to get in. Yeah? It's a dotted line around the edges. It's not a keep people in or a keep people out. It's a dotted line. It shows where we think maybe our edge or our fringe is, but it's flexible, it's movable. So there's plenty of room for people to get in. I'll stick with red. Right, but there's inside that, I think there's another circle. I'm going to give these wee words to describe them. Right, and then I think there's actually maybe, and there might be more circles than this, but sure, let's just go with this number of circles. Right, I'm going to call the one in the middle up. Is that okay? So at the heart of the life of us as a church is a sense of, and I know it's not completely accurate because God isn't up, right? But you know the idea, right? Is that the heart of what we're about is a relationship with God, worship, prayer, gathering around God, hearing his word, wanting to obey him, wanting to love, all that, yeah? So at the heart of everything that we want to be, the core of it is that relationship with God. Right, that's in there right away. Oh, no, I'll stick with red. The next bit of it we'll call in. Yeah. So whatever else happens in the life of a church and the life of our church, we also want it to have not just an up dimension but an in dimension. Yeah. So getting to know each other, supporting each other, and looking out for each other. Being around when there's crisis, rejoicing when there's celebration, all those sorts of things, that's all the in. And words like fellowship and everything apply to that. And just since we're talking about it, just throw into that things like joining in with stuff. I mean, if you have never done anything and you go to Carson's, the one on the sound desk today, if you say to Carson, next week I'd like to help with that, your sense of belonging will grow dramatically, won't it, Carson? Just helping, meeting people, all of that. Come to the orchestra practice. You will suddenly just start to belong. I was at choir practice on Wednesday night, and I've already put it on their own little phone group thing, is that the sense of in, and I don't mean in meaning excluding people who aren't in, but that sense of belonging is very strong, the caring, the looking out for each other, praying for each other. So in all sorts of ways, in is something, and in each of these cases, we want to not just leave it as it is, but develop them. And this next one, we're going to call out. And there needs to be a dimension to the life of us as a congregation, where we're intentionally and deliberately looking for ways to connect with the wider community. And we're going to call that of. Right? So you are going to hear these words up and out of a lot in the next year. Because we're going to be basing things around, is that an up or an in or an out or an of? And that's what we're trying to do with those things. So we're of Beaver Parish. We're of the Church of Ireland. We're of Newton Breda. We're of Belfast. We're of Northern Ireland. We're of whatever it happens to be. We're of the people of God across the world. So a hospital in India, we're part of that, right? Whatever, and of can be different things at different moments, but there's a sense of our edge doesn't stop here, but there's a whole lot of other things, right? Does that all make sense so far? So it's that's the sort of things that we need to be thinking about. But now, let me draw some more lines on this. So, how on earth would you organize all of that or make some of that happen? So I'd like to draw some more wee dotted lines. right? Oh, sorry, there's a wiggly bit. Okay. And slightly different dotted lines out there. Okay. Is that all right so far? Now, what do you think? What are those sectors? What do those slices of cake mean? So let me give you some illustrations. So one of them is Sunday services. Yeah, you know, the music, the preaching, the teaching, the gathering here, the making coffee, and everything else. And you're going to put my name in that. Rodney's name in there. John, Jeffrey, Michelle, tech team, sound team, coffee rotas, right? There's a section of what it means to be us as a church. Musicians, church wardens, people who collect the money, people who clean the floor. Yeah, there's a whole big section of what it means to be Beaver Church that is in there. But that isn't all of it. And you can begin to think that that's the bit I see most. And it may be the bit you see most, but actually there's lots more. And lots more possibilities as well. So I'm calling this, and I'm not sure if everybody's keen on the phrase. I like this phrase, Gen BP, right? The Generation Bus Pass. So people of my age. So 60s up. And that, you know, there's a couple of decades there, maybe more than a couple of decades, and people of all sorts, people still working, people who've stopped working. And it includes people that we never see because presently they're housebound for whatever reason, or maybe in nursing homes or something else, but they're part of this. So we need a plan for Gen BP and on how we work with the people who are here, the people who once were here and who are no longer here, the people who aren't here but maybe could be here, and the people who are in our community and feel disconnected and lonely and isolated in all sorts of ways. So there is there's an up, in, out of for Gen BP. There needs to be an up, in, out of for what we do on Sundays. Next Sunday is part of the out. An open day is the big gaps here are so that we can invite people to something that's on a Sunday. Gen BP already has some ins and outs, like Lunch Bunch on Wednesday. It's not intended to be, but it's mostly a Gen BP type thing. But there's definitely space for other people to be part of that. So let's go on with that. So over here, one of our departments needs to be children and young families. Right, well, again with in, up, in, out, ofs being developed through all of those things. We have an admin management side to what it means to be a church, because there are processes that need to be in place for all of these things to happen. Finance has to be looked after, so that includes Select Vestry and Jennifer in the office and all sorts of other things that happen around that. Let me think without going to look at the back of my envelope. Janice. Oh, yes. Over here, 11 to 14s, 15 to 18s, and young adults, student age, right up into 20s, people going to work for the first time, people going off to far off places to study, people going into training. And I put that as a big section because I think it subdivides a little bit, but it's a big sector altogether in there. And this is hard to fit into this because we want to develop a mission department that is looking at some things that we could be doing in far corners of the earth, but maybe also some things we could be doing right in this parish, out through those walls, in this very community. And you will hear of that in the next month or two, of some things, because the good news is we're about to send our final check to the Indian hospital. It's Stephen McKinty's going to be out there in the next couple of weeks. Is he here? No. Is he there? On his way. We need him to come home with some photographs and things of the hospital. But we're very close to completion on that. So we need to think, well, do we just put our feet up now and say it's all done? Or do we go on and think, what do we do next? And there is another one. Because there's a space here. Maybe I've divided. Let's keep a space as a mystery one. Because maybe one of those three is meant to be there. Maybe I've divided that. Okay. Now you're thinking, how are we going to make all this happen? Well, you know, obviously up until Easter, Jeremy and Jacqueline were part of our staff here. And we paid them. So the vestry during the months since Easter and across the summer have been looking at how do we use that money then to continue the plan and the ministry and the mission of this parish. So we're actually in the process of starting to employ some other people part-time to actually help make this kind of thing happen. So I need to tell you, and this is great news, Rodney is part of our team now and he's completely free. Yeah. Okay. Church of Ireland pays for Rodney, right? Now, it doesn't mean he's cheap, right? but he doesn't cost us anything apart from the odd cup of tea and a bun every now and again. Yeah, and I just go on being the vast sum that I've always been, okay? But there are some other things here. So we're very close to having a person, yeah? For children and young families, right? Someone is just about, but we're working on the when could you start kind of thing. 11 to 14s, we have Olivia. Oh, do you want to put the picture up? Okay. There's Olivia at the left of that picture. These other people are joining us as well. The one in the middle with the wee red tram is Reverend Chris Bennett. If that means anything from the dock, Titanic. All of that is joining us at the end of beginning of October, and he's going to, along with Olivia, look after that whole 11s to 14s, 15 to 18s, and develop ministry and mission among young adults, and that's a great thing. The one on the right with the, I was going to say with the hat on, they've both got hats on. Ruth is a maths teacher, but Paul used to work for New Wine and presently works for Scripture Union, but is going to be joining us. And he's coming in as a kind of manager, logistics, processes kind of person to make all sorts of things work for us. Paul's great. And you'll meet him next Sunday. He's coming next Sunday for the first time. Although he's been here once or twice, you may have spotted him in the past. And so... that person is going to be paid, and that person's going to be paid. And Olivia is Olivia's here on a placement with her university degree. So that costs us sort of expenses, but not a whole lot. And we, at the minute, the vestry, we think we can pay for Chris and this person and Paul out of the money that we aren't now presently spending on Jeremy and Jacqueline. Okay, so you don't need to panic about where's all this coming from. I think there are some things that we're going to develop through mission and everything that we may have to think about how we're going to pay for these. But when you think that we've just put over £70,000 in 9 months into the hospital in India, these things are possible. There's a wee bit of stepping out with God that includes a wee risk, which we usually call faith. But there's a wee risk of that. Now, I can throw into this as well, that Janice has agreed to try to coordinate this sector on GenBP, and she's taken a wee down to 2 days a week work rather than 3 days a week, so give her a wee bit more time to manage that. And Janice is free. Okay, that'll cost us anything. Oh, it's free to you. I give her my all. Yeah, okay. Right. Carson and Stephen Eaches. are very excited about the possibility of trying to develop that sector. And Carson, when do you retire?
Friday past.
Oh, wow. So a very early retirement. He's in his 40s. Okay. But wanting to use some of those hours and days to try to develop a whole pattern of mission and stuff. I'm working with Paul already on trying to develop some things in this community and beyond. So what we're actually talking about here is developing departments of things that are all working on up and out of. And each of these people will want to be developing a team of people to help them work on that. So like in the likes of Gen BP, there hopefully there'll be a whole team of people will begin to grow together to plan this and look at this and how do we serve in it and how do we reach out to others and come up with all sorts of ways where we can make contact beyond these dotted edges that are our congregation. So it's a pattern a wee bit like that that I think we're trying to develop. But you notice the lines we put out the ways are also dotted. And that's because we would like to somehow or other develop a flexible kind of system whereby, why couldn't, and it already happens, why couldn't people who are Gen BP be helping with young families? Yeah, why couldn't, where are we? Why couldn't 11 to 14s have input into Sundays? Why couldn't young adults be engaging with missions? So the flow is not just in, you know, up to God and into each other and out to our community. The flow is how do we also across this congregation develop relationships and patterns of things so that different generations, different age groups, people of different backgrounds are helping and serving with one another. So that's the picture on the back of the envelope. Yeah. And I hope that's not too complicated or anything to try to see how that something that works. But over this winter, people beginning to develop teams of people to look at how are we going to shape this part of our church life and creating opportunity for people to get involved in ways that you've maybe never imagined before. And if you're sitting there terrified thinking, oh, I have no idea how I could get involved in that, could I encourage you, the first step might be to help tidy up after next Sunday. Or the first step might be to say, do you need a hand with that? Or could, I've heard you're doing something, could I help with that? Or you may think, I just need to sit and watch for a while and see what's going on and see how some of these things develop. And trust me, it's not, everything's not all going to change in the next fortnight. Yeah, we're just beginning to plant some new ideas and some new shrubs and trees in the garden to see what might grow and see how some of that begins to work. So do please pray about this season that we're coming into. When it appears there may be new opportunities and new things beginning to happen, both in here, but possibly even more exciting out there. Within walking distance of here, maybe we could be doing some things. I don't want to go on and start to talk about all those things. Let's keep that for another day, because there are some things that could begin to happen outside in our community this winter. Well, sorry, you already did one last. Remember last year we went over to Tesco and did our nativity play, right? Do that again this year. And very naturally and easily, we become visible out in our community. People begin to see us, begin to think, is that Beaver Church? What are they up to over there? So let's just pause for a wee moment and be still and hear again the words that Morgan read to us from Isaiah, that as you walk with me, if you veer to the right or to the left, you will hear my voice. This is the way. Walk in it.